Robert Rosenzweig, Sunday morning, April 18th, on Sfiras Omer.
Today's shiur is given the Zecher Nishmas Yaakov Shmuel ben Moshe David Aryeh.
What's that?
And also David Aryeh ben Yosef HaKohen as well. And Shomos and Aliyah discuss of the shiur of the Divrei Torah. The topic of the day is going to the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. I'm sure that topic which has been spoken about a little bit in shul and other places, and I'd like us to develop a certain approach, I guess, to one of the central issues. Sfiras Omer is found in the middle of Parshas Hamoad in Parshas Emor, where we would expect that it would be found, not in Parshas Emor, but at least within Parshas Emor, which is between Pesach and Shavuos. Parshas Hamoadim, of course, begins with a discussion of Shabbos. By Dabar Hashem Moshe Limor, Dabar Bnei Yisrael Marata Lehem, Wadei Hashem Asher Tikro Osam Mifrat Kodesh, Elahem Moadim, Perek Chav Gimel of Ayikra. The Torah begins with a delineation of all of the Moadim. The first thing we encounter is Shabbos, which itself is perplexing and is fraught with all sorts of implications. Sheish Hashemim Te'asem Alachav, From there, we get into what I call the second rendition, or the second, or the false start, the second beginning of the Parsha. And of course, we begin with the first of the Moadim, which is, according to the view that Nisan, of course, is the beginning of the year, which is Chag HaPesach and Chag HaMatzos. B'chodesh HaRishon B'arba'asam HaKodesh B'arba'ayim Pesach L'Hashem. And we have a little bit of a discussion, three or four more psukim, about Chag HaMatzos and Pesach. So from there, one would have expected, since this is the delineation of the Moadim, and again, the fact that it starts with Shabbos might be peculiar, but once we're on track, let's say, with Pesach, so one would have expected that the calendar would then dictate, we'd get Pesach, and then we'd get Shavuos, and then we get Rosh Hashanah, and we have Kippur, and Sukkot, and that is what we get. But, in between, we have a very long section, much longer than any of the Moedim themselves, which is itself quite surprising. It's just important to be aware of this, how one interprets it, what conclusions are to be reached on the basis of this, could differ, but it's just important to be aware that from Pasuk Tes, in other words, Aleph through Gimel in this Parsha is Shabbos. Dalet through Ches is the day, what we call Erev Pesach, but which is really Pesach, the day of the bringing of the Korban Pesach, and Chag HaMatzos, four psukim. And then from Pasuk Tes, all the way until Pasuk, let's see, Tezayin, which is quite a few psukim. We have, that's the next time that we encounter, even actually later, depends how you count this, but the actual reference to Shavuos is Pasuk Chaf Aleph. That's from Tes through Chaf Aleph, we basically have a discussion of the Havas, Karban, the Ketzira, the Hava'ah, and the Sfira of the Omer, together with the Karban Shtei Halachem. The reason I was hesitant about classifying the beginning of Shavuos, because, of course, the day of Shavuos coincides with the Karban Shtei Halachem, but the actual reference to the Mikra Kodesh, the next Mikra Kodesh after Pesach, after Chag HaMatzos, is really in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Ukrasim Be'etzem Ayom Azen Mikra Kodesh Yalachem, Kol Melech HaSavoda Lo Sasu, Chukas Halom V'Kol Vashotzeichem, L'Dorosehem. And then, actually, which is maybe even more remarkable, so it seems like we have a what did I say, from 9 to 21, so it seems like we have about a 12 Pasuk Hepsik dealing with Korban Omer and all of its aspects, dealing with Shnei Alachad, and in between, dealing with Sefirot HaOmer, a 12-pasuk gap, and then we finally have reference to Chag HaShavuot, so say we're just bridging that gap, we finally got there, and then maybe even more remarkable than anything else, maybe, you know, one, depending on what topic one is speaking about, you know, one could say this about different psukim, you know, what is the most remarkable pasuk in Parsha Samor? If I was speaking about Yom Kippur, I might say it's a different pasuk, but it's a candidate. In this case, it's a candidate for a different reason. Pasuk Chav Beis, the pasuk right after the reference to Shavuos, is a pasuk which is the most out of place pasuk, certainly, in all of Parsha Samor. Uvekutzrechem, it's katsir artzechem, lo sechalev, pa'af salchot bekutzrecha, v'leket katsircha lo selakeit, le'anim v'lager tazov osam, ani Hashem v'lokeit. The next pasuk is by Davar Hashem Moshe Leibar, Davar Avnei Yisrael Leibar, B'Kodesh HaShvi, back on the Kodesh, Yelachem Shabbos, on Zikron Trua, Mikra Kodesh. We're back on track. We have Rosh Hashanah, we have Kippur, we have Sukkot, then we have another remarkable thing, the second rendition of Sukkot, with the Lulav and so on. That's not for today. So basically, from pasuk Tes through pasuk Chafes, these Sukkim are all a little problematic, with the exception of one pasuk, which delineates the Kedushas Hayom of Shavuos. Basically, we've been dealing with the Korban HaOmer, brought on the second day of Pesach, or second day of Chag HaMatzos. We've been dealing with the Kefira, the Havoa, and Sfira. And then we've been dealing with Korban Shtei Alechem, then one Pasuk on Shavuos, and then another Pasuk, which we just don't know what it's doing here at all. Now that pasuk is a debate among the Rishonim what it refers to exactly. That is out of place, is clear. What does Peah and Leket and Shikha have to do with anything? I don't know. I don't think we're going to have time to resolve or to suggest a resolution of that today. But I do think that something very important emerges at minimum from this idea. What does it refer to? Mekutzrachem Tzkatzir Artzachem. So there are some of Farshim, including the Ibn Ezra, who says that it's a reference to the Katsir Hachitin, because we just finished talking about the Shtei Alechem, and the Shtei Alechem has to be cut as well. The Chitin, the Omer, is brought from Seorim. The Shtei Alechem is brought from Chitin. Both of these have to be cut, and therefore we're being told that, you know, when you do this cutting, the Kutzrachem, the Katsir Artukem, don't forget. By the way, it's almost, it seems like a parenthetical pasuk. Don't forget the rules of Peah and Leket and Shikra. The simple shot, if you just read the psukim, is that the Ketzira here, when the Torah speaks about Shnei Alechem, it doesn't really speak about Ketzira, but when it speaks about the Omer, it speaks about Ketzira. Again, going back to that original hefsek in Pasuk Yud, Daber b'nei Yisrael b'artol lehem kislavo l'aretz asher ani nosei lachem u'ketzarten as Ketzira. That's Pasuk Yud. Taveisim as Omer Reishis Ketzirchem el hakov. Yeah. So that is the previous literary reference to Ketzir in the Pesukim. And then, in the end of this whole story, even after Shavuos, the Torah picks up again, says Bekutzrachem, as Ketzir Artzachem, so it's probably a reference, even though there unquestionably is a Ketzir of the Chitin as well, but this unquestionably goes back to the Pshuto Shel Mikra. One would think that this goes back to the Omer. The reason Ibn Ezra didn't like that is because then it's a hefsek upon hefsek. In other words, we're speaking about, for some reason we're interrupting Parshas HaMoedim with the Ketzira of the Omer, which is the beginning of the Havah HaOmer, and the Hakrava HaOmer, the Tznufa, the Havah, the Sfira, and everything else. Right? Then we speak about Shnei Alechem, and then we finally speak about what should be there, which is Shavuos. Right? And then after that, we go back to a reference to Ketzira HaOmer again. Even if we parenthetically wanted to remind you that when you're doing Ketzira HaOmer, which is the way the Ramban interprets, the Ramban Al-Attar says, this pasuk is meant to, you know, refer back to Ketzira HaOmer. He says, and to teach you that, don't think that in the context of Ketzira HaOmer, that the regular dinim of Ketzira in Eretz Yisrael don't apply. Don't think because you're involved in the mitzvah of Ketzira HaOmer, so you can, you know, in this context at least, maybe it sounds too cruel or too harsh to say, you can close your eyes to the suffering you know, of the aniyim. You can ignore the dinim or the implications of matnas aniyim. Peya, leka, shikcha, not so. It's very important to know that, you know, that you can't violate the dinim of Ketzira, the matnas aniyim halakos, even if it's in the context of providing for Ketzira's home. That's how the Ramban interprets the pasuk. That's very interesting, but again, should the Torah have made this parenthetical comment in the context of Ketziras HaOmer itself? It seems to me that there's a serious problem here, and that somehow, in addition to everything else, which I hope to get back to, it seems to me that the Torah intentionally wanted you to know that it's not just that for whatever reason we started with the dinim of Omer, we went from there to Sefiras HaOmer, we went from there to Shtei Lechem, to Shavuos, and now we're moving on. We want you to know that this is all intentional, and this last pasuk of Ketziras HaOmer is a way of tying us back, so you should know that you should draw a big circle, right? Maybe a circle's wrong, because that implies that we're taking it out and it's all in parentheses. But the point is, at least you should draw a line after the rendition of Shavuos back to the Omer, back to day number two of Pesach. This is a way of tying in these two ideas even after the fact. It's not just that A leads to B, which leads to C. When you get to C, you should know that C always was intended to be connected with and maybe bring perspective to A. Yeah.
Is bias chayav on what in life?
Is what?
Is bias chayav on what in life?
Bias? What's bias? Oh, the Beis Hamikdash? No, that's a different point. The point is you have to do a lot of, again, it is a good question.
But
what happens is, No. The point is that when you, without going into too much detail about the Omer and the Shnei Lechem, so the process of the Omer and Shnei Lechem, as it's described in the Mishnayos and the Gemara and Menachos and codified by the Rambam, is that you do a lot of cutting, right, in order to get a much bigger volume, and then from that bigger volume, you end up, with much less. So some of the things that you're cutting are not ligavot. Right. So the act of ketzira and in the field and so on, leaving the peah, if in the process, there are two things. Number one, the things that you're cutting, like a shikho peah, that, you know, if you're leaving them in the field, they have no status whatsoever. The point is, when you're cutting, you should know that you should still leave a payout in the field for everyone else. And then there's also the question of what it is that you take, and whether you offer trumas and maizes from it. I mean, this is things, the parts that you use and the parts that you don't.
That's what I'm asking. When bias the seer that is far in excess of what's needed for the karbanos.
Yes, so that's the question. And that's we hold to that and try the trumas and maizes. Again, we'll be able to get to it in the Rambam just a little bit later on. But the point of the Ramban, just for the moment, this is in this pasuk here, Kaf Gimel, Kaf Beis, is to tell you that don't think that in the process of gathering or cutting, right, for everything else, don't think that you can, ignore, since the context is one, what you're doing is L'shei Mitzvah, don't think that therefore you have the right to ignore these deeds. First he quotes Rashi, Chazar v'shana b'hem lavar v'shnei lavin, Rav Avraham Omer, referring to Ibn Ezra, Ketam b'avur ki chaga shavuos, b'kurei ketzir chitin yizr shalom tishtak kmach esi v'tzicha lasos b'yam in ha'ein, v'anachom b'yeinai, says the Ramban, ki v'kutzkan is ketzir artuchem remez l'katzir ha'nizka v'rosha parsha, referring to the Omer, the Omer ki kishetavohu, El Haaretz Uktarten is Omer. Reishes Ketzirchem Lo Sechale Haas Sadka Ahu Lutzorach HaOmer. Don't use the Peah in order to collect from the Omer. Now, don't ignore Dine Peah because of the context of the Omer. But Lo Telaket Aleket. And if when you're cutting down for the Omer there are little pieces, etc., the Shikha, the Leket, etc., don't think that because the context is an Omer context that somehow Lomar Lo Titcha Mitzvahi Es Alavin Ha'Ela. That's the Ramban. Why one should think that is still a question. More important for my purposes at the moment is that structurally this parsha basically is a huge mistake, number one. That's point number one. Number two, It's a very large, huge hetzik. It is, by the way, in terms of Sukkot, Stubos, in itself. It starts from the Vayavar Shem Moshe Leimar, all the way to the end of Shavuot, and that the Torah intentionally, according to the Ramban's reading of the pasuk, which I think is a simple pshat, the Torah is telling us that even after Shavuot, you should know that there's a connection to Ketzirah Sol. Now, there's another problem here, the same problem, parallel problem. Can there be anything in Parshas Emor which is not connected to Mar? We do find in other parshas in the Torah where you have a certain theme. And you have things in parentheses. I don't mean literally. If you find the same Torah within parentheses, you have a serious problem. But obviously there can be a tangent in the Torah. It's always intentional. It's always intended to teach us something. But there can be psukim. There can be psukim. There can be themes. There can be topics which are here agav other topics, even apparently interrupting, as long as they accomplish a certain goal. Is it possible that the Omer, that the Sfirat Omer, that the Shealechem, are examples, this is the best place to put them. One of my professors, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, once made the Ha'ara. People talk about, placement in the Rambam. Where does the Rambam put things? So his methodological comment was, that's a very good question, and it's something which needs to be explored. Why does the Rambam, we'll actually discuss this here in just a minute, classify things in one place and not in another. But his important point was, for this to be a problem and for it to yield some sort of a conclusion, there has to be a better option. In other words, if something should have been here, and instead it's there, or one would have thought that it would be better here than there, then you have to explain why it's there. If the only place to put it, if you have bad choices, let's say you have to put it somewhere, there's no ideal place for it. The best of all the all the possibilities is to put it here, then you don't have a question. So is that what we're talking about when it comes to Omer and Shehalechem and Spiros Omer? Basically, Torah has to record, has to register these halakos. Okay. The question is, where are we going to put them? We're going to put them in Pinchas. We're going to put them in Re'eh. We're going to put them where? In Parshas Kedoshim. When we talk about some of the issues, other issues, put them in the context of Dinei Eretz Yisrael. There are all sorts of options. And we have Parshios that relates to Korbanos all throughout the Torah, and Vayikra, and Shmos, and Bamidbar. We certainly have numerous Parshios that deal with the Yanei Zerayim. We could have put them there. Why are they specifically here? That's a question. Timing-wise, we understand why they're here. That doesn't necessarily mean that they have implications for the Moed. However, there are Mefarshim who suggest that anything in Parshas Emor is connected in some way to Moed. Again, the example of that, I like to highlight, is Korban Pesach. The Gra makes this comment, and the Nitzin makes this comment, that what we call Pesach really is Chag HaMatzos in the Torah. But when the Torah starts, Ela Bo Adei Hashem Asher Tikra Otzon B'Koray Kodesh, right, it really starts with Pesach, the bringing of the Korban Pesach. And the Gra and the Nitzin both suggested that the day of the bringing of the Korban Pesach is really a Moed. It isn't just a Yom of HaKravos HaPesach. The Gra suggests this in Hilchos Avel with respect to a tangible issue with a, unfortunately, person sitting Shiva. Right? And we know that when Yom Tov comes, Yom Tov negates that Shiva. The question is, how far, to what late point does he sit, right, before Yom Tov? So there is a view that when it comes to Pesach, in particular, Erev Pesach, he can stop earlier, maybe after Chatzos, whereas when it comes to other Yom Tovim, he has to go right to that. The question is why. So the Gra, the Shach is very bothered by this, it's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shach is very puzzled by it. So the Gra says, very succinctly, that the reason for it is simple. He says, after all, the tzukim related to Korban Pesach are in Parshas Emor. Well, he says, the Netziv, in his Perush Shal HaTorah here in Emor, also, when he reads the tzukim of Korban Pesach, says, Korban Pesach is a kind of a chag. After all, it's in Parshas Emor. Now, given that mentality, not everybody has to agree with that, then the inclusion of 13 tzukim having to do with the Korban Omer, the Korban Shteilah, and the Sfiras Omer, and the fact that Shavuos is kind of seamlessly integrated into the Shtei Lechem, and then even afterwards, you go back to the Ketzirah Tzahomer, would seem to raise an important question. What are these two people doing here, if they really are a moed of some sort? That is the question. the question then essentially is, how do we look at these Tzukim, and how do we look more particularly at Sfiras HaOmer? And in theory, there can be one of two explanations. One is that, you know, notwithstanding these difficulties about the structure of the tzukim, and some other explanation needs to be provided, but again, relevant tangential justification would be the general approach. Generally speaking, the Omer Shtei Lechem HaKorbanos, and the Sfiras HaOmer is a count from one to the other. That's certainly what makes such a case when it comes to the tzukim. The Rambam, after all, as we noted, deals with these dinim not in Hilchos Chametzonatza, and not in Hilchos Yom Tov, but in Hilchos Tmidin Umusafim. Rambam deals with Sfiras HaOmer in the context of, first he has Ketziras HaOmer and Havas HaOmer, and then he has Sfiras HaOmer. This is, we'll get to in a second, in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Tmidin Musafim. In Perek Ches, Hilchos Tmidin Musafim, he deals with the problem of Shteilah. On the other hand, just structurally speaking, the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, Shulchan Aruch, deals with the Dinim of Sfiras HaOmer right after Hilchos Pesach. Now again, the methodological question that I, or consideration that I mentioned before, parallel to it, surfaces again. The Shulchan Aruch didn't write on the Avodah. So if he had, so then the fact that, he editorially chose to insert Dinei Sfiras HaOmer in Aruch Hayim, and not in the extended Yoredei of Korbanos, the equivalent of Tmidim Musafim, would surely have been an excellent contrast, you know, to the Rambam. You have two possible ways to classify this, and you choose that one instead of this one. Since Tur Shulchan Aruch doesn't deal with Yonei Korbanos, so we don't have the fullness of that contrast. Yeah.
If for some reason Beis Din didn't count the Omer, would there be a Chag Shavuos?
Yeah. There would, but that doesn't mean that the count, that's a good, I mean, you're thinking in the right direction, but it doesn't mean that the count isn't connected to the holiday, it just means that it isn't the Hake of the holiday.
When would it be?
Sorry?
When would it be? Just on...
No, it would be on the same date, but it would be on the date when you should have counted Sfiras HaOmer. But I say you're thinking in the right direction, just the fact that there's a connection doesn't mean that, that's a sine qua non. That you can't have one without the other. So we have this contrast between the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. There's a general view out there, which is that this may determine whether Sfiras HaOmer is Daraisa or Drabana. Right? We know that's a very well-known debate. It centers around the statement of Amemar in the Gemara Nidachos on Sama Kavav Omen Aleph, where the Gemara says if you count the weeks and you count days,
For us
older
people
who
can't see
from the front. Ah, very strong, too. So the Gemara says here, the famous Nemra of the Gemara. The Gemara says that there's a debate on this point between Neymar and Abai and Rava. Abai and Rava said, Mitzvah the Mimdi, only Mitzvah the Mimdi Shibuei. So the Gemara says that a Neymar was of the opinion that we only count days, we don't count weeks. And the reason for that is that basically Zeichal Mikdash. Neymar Mani Yomi, Malon Mani Shvue, Omar Zeichal Mikdash. So the question is, a Neymar clearly thinks that Sfiras HaOmer, or say clearly thinks, at least thinks that the counting of weeks in Sfiras HaOmer is only a din to Rabban. Rashi explains that a Neymar's view is that all of the Sefiras Omer, weeks and days, is Drabbanan, and it's simply Zecher L'Mikdash. This is also the view of the Baal Amor. Baal Amor and Pesachim asked three questions, which I want to get back to. Three, I think, interesting questions. Three questions which are not so obvious, even as questions. Never mind the answers. Number one, he asked, when it comes to Sefiras Omer, why is it that we don't say Zman? Why is there no Shachiyanu? After all, we find Shachiyanu in Lulav and Shofar. All sorts of other things. Why is there no Shachiyanu when it comes to Sefiras Omer? Secondly, he asked the question, or thirdly, I'll skip to the third one first. He asked the question, why is there no din of Sveika Yomo when it comes to Sefiras Omer? Right? Why don't we count every day? You know, today is, day number three, or maybe it's day number four, depending on whether or not the proper day of Pesach was, one or the other. Just like we have Yom Tisheni Shogolios, because of Sveika Yomo, why don't we count based on Sveika Yomo as well? That's the third question of Baal Amor. The second question of the Baal Amor was a little bit of a different kind of a question. Why is there a clash between the fact that we observe Yom Tisheni Shogolios, right, and the fact that we count Sefiras Omer without Sveika Yomo? That's a different question. In other words, on the second day, on the second night of Pesach, which is supposed to be the beginning of Sefiras Omer, why isn't counting Sefiras Omer a slap in the face to Yom Tisheni Shogolios? By counting Sefiras Omer, aren't we essentially saying that this is the second day of Pesach? But we're observing it as if it's the first day of Pesach. So to be consistent, we really should not count Sefiras Omer until, I guess, the third day. Or why is that any different, is really his question. Why is that different than the Gemara, which says that if you live in Chutz Laaretz, and therefore Shmini Atzeres is also Sveika Yoma of the seventh day of Sukkot, so the Gemara says, Yisuve Yosinan Bruche Lo Mevarchina. You're supposed to sit in the Sukkah on the eighth day, on Shmini Atzeres in Chutz Laaretz. You're not supposed to make a bracha, because it's, it's Shmini Atzeres. But you have to sit in the Sukkah because it's also Safek Shvi. And therefore, you have to be respectful to both. But that's what you're supposed to do. But you don't make a bracha. Why don't you make a bracha? Why Bruche Lo Mevarchina? Because that's a slap in the face to Shmini Atzeres. But you can't, make a bracha on the Sukkah and then go on and make Kiddush and say, B'yom Shmini Atzeres Achag Hazeh, or Achag HaShmini Atzeres Hazeh, or whichever the proper Nusach is. You just can't do that. That's a stira. So too, asked the Baal Amor. So why don't we have that exact situation here as well on the second day of the Pesach? In addition to the question of general Sveika Yoma, which would require that every day of Sefiras Omer we make two references to the two possible days, why not to say that on day number two there's a stira between Yom Tisheni Shogolios and the bracha of Sefiras Omer, and therefore you should not make that bracha? Those are the three questions. So that's in the end, that's one of his answers, that it really is the opposite scenario, meaning in the case of Shmini Atzeres, so you're worried about the Doraisa, and therefore you have to cut down, you have to moderate the Drabanan. In other words, the Drabanan is the fact that it's still so. Because the Doraisa is the Shmini Atzeres, so you don't say the Bracha, because that would be a zilzul to the Shmini Atzeres. Let's just say it in those terms. But what the Baal Amor is suggesting, and he himself ultimately comes up with this answer, is the opposite. That because of the din, the Rabbanan of Kedushas Hayom, meaning that the second day of Pesach is really the first day of Pesach, you wouldn't make the bracha on the Sefiras Omer, which according to the real calendar, if we were the Kedushas Yarcha, really would be the proper day to say Sefiras Omer. Of course, if you take Sefiras Omer, it's Rabbanan, so then it gets a little bit trickier. Even in that respect, and the Baal Amor happens to think that, that's probably how we can ask the question. Even then, it's a proper answer. But we'll get to it in just a second. There are several answers to that question. The point is that the Baal Amor asks these three questions. To answer some of these questions, particularly the question of Zman, as well as of Safek, the Baal Amor says, well, didn't you read the Gemara Menachos and the statement of a Neymar who says that, we're not going to Yomim and Shavuot, because Zecha L'Chorban. In other words, Sefiras Omer is only Drabanan. Since Sefiras Omer is Drabanan, so there is no Zman, and therefore there's no stake in the Yoma. And of course, there are other implications as well. That's the view of Rashi, that's the view of the Balamor, it's also the view of the Balei Tosfos. Tosfos in Menachos, Halakha, right here, says that based on this statement of the Gemara, we come to a very important conclusion. Nira de Besafik Hashecha, Yochel of Arechle, Tzarek Lahantin Hashem Vadai Laila, Kimchu Steka Drabban. Basically, the Tosa says that if you're in a situation of Ben Hashmashos, then you are, if you're in a situation of Ben Hashmashos, so then, that's Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Right? But if Sfiras Omer is only a Chiv Drabbanan, so it's fine to count Sfiras Omer already at that point. The Ran in Tzachim quotes Tosus even as even saying something more forceful.
More challenging.
But the Ran in Tzachim quotes the Balei Tosus as going even further, as saying that L'chatchila, one should say Sfiras Omer Ben Hashmashos. Why? What's the mentality behind that? The Rav explains because of Tmimos. If there's a din of Tmimos, he says basically you should do it as early as you can. Now, if you held Spiros Omer to be Doraisa, so then you want to avoid, but you have to avoid Ben Hashmashos, so you can only begin at Pesach Kochal. But Spiros Omer is Rabbanan. So then the Tmimos can begin at Beit HaShmashos itself, and therefore the Chatzchila, we don't have that in our printed Balei Tosfos, therefore the Chatzchila, one should say Sfiras Omer or Beit HaShmashos. The Ran himself thinks that that's a terrible svara. Again, the Pika Amro HaTosfos, the Kibidra Midrabanon he, told Lispar B'yom Rishon B'Safek HaShefa K'deshu Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos Legam. That's what he quotes. Vein Gadachon, Shiachnis Atu of the Safik L'Chatzchila? Even if it's Drabanan, why should you put yourself in a Safik L'Chatzchila? It's one thing to say, Sveik Drabanan L'Kula, but that's the Yevet, don't do L'Chatzchila. And then a stronger question, if I get a chance in the end, I'll try to answer, the Yishu Tmimos, Ein L'Hachmir the Tmimos B'Zman HaZeshu, with Drabanan, saying the Sphira D'Araisa. Meaning, how ironic or unusual is that? Tmimos is a D'Araisa idea. So it's Sfiras Omer is Drabanan, so now we have the luxury of being mocked in Sfiras Omer, even to Ben Hashmashos, therefore we could fulfill, right, the ideal Doraisa on the Drabanan level even earlier than you would fulfill the Tnimos idea had Sfiras Omer been Doraisa, right? So the Ran says that's just very peculiar, right? The Drabanan shouldn't be more machmir than the Doraisa. I mean, obviously the idea of Balei Tosfos, they really, according to this version of Tosfos, is that there are two ideas here. One idea is Tmimos, which means that the beginning of every day, as early as possible, you set the tone at the beginning of that day of Sfiras Omer. I'll try to get back to that idea, why that should be. That's the key of the Tmimos. As long as Sfiras Omer is Doraisa, so you just can't do it any earlier than Tzeis HaKapala, because you might be missing the boat completely. Right? So the earliest Tmimos that you can have is Tzeis HaKapala. So that's either a kind of a B'nieved situation, right? Or maybe it's even a L'Chatzchila. The idea of Tmimos is as early as possible, the first moment that you can, you should be registering this new day. But when Sfiras Omer is Drabanan, so because it's Drabanan, and that creates a shift in terms of the possibilities, you know, of setting the tone for the next day. We just define the day in a more liberal or more flexible way because of the Sfeik of the Yoma, but because it's a Safik Drabanan. So then, the Mechayev of Tmimos, that's the idea behind this version of Tosfos, is even earlier. But the Ran doesn't like it. Either way, it's a Chumrah consequence to a Dindrabana of Sfiras Omer, yeah.
And the Rav's great question was, do you think that for every day or just the first day?
It sounds like every day.
Did you say Yom Rishon?
So
the point that it's the same as the Sfira overall, that's it.
But I mean, the Balei Tosfos' idea
is, let me just see.
It could be that your diuk is correct. I don't know why it should make a difference, but let me look at it for a second. The thing from Rabbi Tosa, Kiyud Rabbanan, he told Lispar B'yom Rishon, he says B'yom Rishon, the Safed Kedek, Hashem, Kedek Shu Sheva Shabbasa. Sheva Shabbasa. Okay. The same, it's the same idea. But right, I mean, your aura is very good, and I didn't notice it. Meaning it's not every day to set the tone for the every day, it's the 49-day period, so to be from beginning to end. The analysis is the same. The aura is a good aura. Thank you.
It's the same thing as the Taz on the back end.
What's that?
It's the same thing as the Taz on the back end.
Right. Yeah, it could be. I mean, the Tzmimos that you want to finish. Yeah. Getting into the right tissues. So the so that would be an interesting discussion. Either way, it is the view of the rod itself, by the way, also, together with the Talmud, he rejects this thesis, but the general view of the Ran is also that the Zman Hazeh, Sfiras HaOmer, is Drabana. Many of the poskim in Shulchan Aruch assume that that is the majority position of the Rishonim, in total. Actually, the Chafetz Chaim and the Be'er Halacha points out that this assumption is highly questionable. And that if you actually add up the Rishonim, it's not so clear the Or Zeruah, the Rav Yom, we'll get to the Rambam in a second, possibly the Ramban, we don't even mention. The truth is, there are a lot more Rishonim who think the Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh is Daraisa than people think. It's true that the Bali Tosus and the Ran and the Balamor were very influential, and the Shulchan Aruch happens to pass him in most matters that Sfiras HaOmer is Rabbanon. But you should be aware that in the literature of the Rishonim, it's certainly not a lower posture at all, but the Gaonim also, there's a lot of evidence that there are many people out there who hold that Sfiras HaOmer is indeed Daraisa. And so the Ran has an interesting formulation. His view is that Sfiras HaOmer is Rabbanan, because of the connection to Omer and Shnei Alechem and so on. Mikan Kol Chachonim. Yeah. Roman Farsha Maskimim, he also says Roman Farsha Maskim, the Sphere Summer Hashab, the Lake Above, Lo Carbon, Ain't Alamid Rabbana Bialma, Zechel Mikdosh, Kedamra Meimar, Zechel Mikdosh Bialma. Uba Haggadah, Kanke Amru, that's the Haggadah, Pasalim, the Divrei Haggadah, the Shosh Amr Moshe Tav Dudas Alokim, Alahara Zen, Amrullah Yisrael, Moshe Abeinu, Emasai Abodazu, Amalahed, the Sok Kabishim Yom, Vayimor Kalaka Biakha the Atzma. Mikan kol chachamim spheres omer kolmer bezman hazeh she'enenu mevi'im korban l'omer l'mak mechash v'nunyal v'simcha ha'torah kemo shemona yisrael v'oso zman zeh v'adai derech medrashu de'ikrit edilso zeikha l'mikdash k'd omer ha'neymar avu mikamokom kol zeh mokiyach she'en ha'sphira akshav ela b'drabanan l'tik chom rutosis and so on. What's particularly interesting about the Ran that he insists on what the wrote before Shem hold this way, but more to the point, even though he quotes the Divrei Chazal, which connects the Sfira not to the Karbanos, but actually to the holidays of Pesach and Shavuos, nonetheless, he dismisses that. Doesn't say in the Medrash that that's only Divrei Haggadah, right? He dismisses it as Divrei Haggadah, which doesn't affect the bigger picture, which is that Sfiras HaOmer is only Drabanan. It's only Drabanan because of this connection to the Karbanos. However, this is to be contrasted, as I mentioned, with some other Rishon. Number one, the Ramban in Sakin, commenting on the Bahol Malamar discussion, says that, I don't know why it's not here, but the Ramban in Mokomos here, basically says that he doesn't understand Balamar quotes a Meimar. Meimar said that we're only Memana Shavuos, we're not Memana Yonim, because of Zeichel Mikdash. So the Ramban basically says, that's true, but who passes like a Meimar? Right? If you go to Shul, notice that we were Memana Yonim, and we're Memana Shavuot. So Ramban's, this is Ramban's way of saying, just because a Meimar holds it Zeichel Mikdash doesn't mean that that isn't what the Chacham argue about. Now again, the Balamor and Udine and Bali Tosis and so on will tell you that, and Balamor says it explicitly, says it's true that we have the minhag to be Memana Yomim and Shavuot, Right? But that doesn't mean that it isn't Zeichel HaMikdash. The argument is within, like, how much impact does Zeichel HaMikdash have? Does it just, is it just the reason and affects things like Ben HaShmashos, and other stakos, and other dinim, or it affects the actual configuration of what it is that we do in the counting, Shavuot and Yomi, etc. But everybody agrees with Aneimar. Aneimar is saying something that's Muskam Lakol, Zeichel HaMikdash, so the question is the consequence. And the Ramban, Udime, that's not correct. That Gufa is the argument between Aneimar and Rabban. There are even those who suggest that Aneimar doesn't agree fully that Sphiris Omer Bizman Azeh is Rabban. Maybe all Aneimar thinks is that Shavuot Bizman Azeh is Rabban. There are some Rishonim, Rabban Yerucham, and others who seem to say that the Mechayiv of Yomi and Shavuot are different. That's a topic in its own right. That's not for today. There are nafkaminas of the forgetting and other things, but if you think there are two dinim, minyan shavuos and minyan yamin, there are two parshios in the Torah that deal with Sphiris HaOmer, so then you might say that all Aneimar is saying is that the shavuot part is Rabban. But even he might agree that the yomi part is not Rabban. Either way, the Ramban seems to take this particular view. The chinuch is very problematic. Are different girsos in Sefer HaChinuch. The girsa that we have in our Sefer HaChinuch is that... no, it's here somewhere, right?
Yeah.
It is here?
No.
Oh, is that? Okay. So the Sefer HaChinuch, which you'll all look up, Nitzah Shinvach, basically says that the printed version says that there's manazeh, that there's no omer, there's no shnei alechem, etc. Sirus omer is only drabah. But there were different girsos in the Chinuch. I think that's probably the right girsa. I'll explain in a couple of minutes what I mean by that. There are other girsos in the chinuch that took that whole part out. Right? All the part that said that that it's Rabban. That's very interesting. Why? We'll see in a minute. The Rambam, of course, is the most well-known shita. That Sphiris Omer Manazeh is Doraisa. Rambam Perek Zion, Lukos Smidin Musafin, Halacha Chav Dalin, Perk Zayin Halachah Basis, Nitzah Seh Lispor, Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos, V'yom Havas Omer, Shonemar Uspartim Lachem Yimachat HaShabbos, Sheva Shabbosos, Nitzah Lindos Ayonin, Ima Shvua, Shonemar Tizkru Chamishim Yom, U'mitzchilos Ayon, Monin, L'pikach Monu V'layla, Nilel Shishasar B'nissan. So basically the Rambam quotes the requirement of Yomi and Shavuot, there's no hint of Aneimar in the Rambam. And then he adds, Mitzvah zu al kol ish mi Yisrael, v'chol mokom v'chol zman, v'noshim v'avodim p'tur v'imem. So the Rambam, in the context of Sefer Avodah, is telling us that it's applied v'chol mokom v'chol zman, meaning that it's a din d'arayis. The lot of the Parshim suggests that the Rambam holds that Sphiris HaOmer is connected to the Moadim, not to the Karbanos. And that's why it's Doraisa. Shulchan says many Mefarshim. It's the popular explanation of the Rambam. The problem is that when you put the evidence together, right, there seems to be a serious contradiction. Take the Rambam. Very hard to say that the Rambam thinks that Sphiris HaOmer Doraisa is because it's connected to the Moadim alone. After all, the Rambam did make the editorial decision, right, to deal with the mitzvah of Sphiris HaOmer, and Hilchos Tmidim U'Musafin. He doesn't even mention it in Sefer Zman, in the context of either Hilchos Yom Tov or Hilchos Kometz U'Matzah, right, Man Dikar Shemai, it's not mentioned there at all. Chaim was of the opinion that though the Rambam felt that Sphiris HaOmer is a Raisa, he still thinks that it's connected to the Karbanos of Omer and Shnei Lechem. Now, how could that be? After all, we no longer have Omer and Shnei Lechem. So Chaim suggested that it's connected to another Shita Sarab. Like the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, famous Rambam, who explains that even though Tusha Rishona, Kitchel Lashaita, Velo Kitchel Liyasim Lavo, nonetheless, when it came to the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, that's Kedusha Solanim, by that is in the category of Kedushas Hashchina, the Hashchina Ein of the Tail. This is why the Rambam's view is that Harabayis, all these issues, the Kedusha of the Makom HaMikdash and Kedusha Yerushalayim, Manazeh, is fully Doraisa. Even though he holds that Kedusha Shniya is also Doraisa, Kedusha Shniya, Kitzel Shaitan, Kitzel Yasavava, Kedusha Ezra. However, the Rambam's view is that when it comes to Churros and Maitzers and other things, they're only Durabanan Bizmanazeh, because, as he explains in the end of Kedusha Churros, there's a lack of Bias Kolchem. All of Kal Yisrael, or sufficient amounts of Kal Yisrael, didn't return in the time of Ezra. Therefore, those are Rabbanan. But anything having to do with the Mokom HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, Yerusha Samiz Be'ah, all those things are Doraisa. That's the Rambam's place on the Kiyos. So Chaim says, the Rambam's Lashitaso, it's true that Lemaisa, we don't have an Omer in a She'alachem, but that's for practical reasons. We don't exactly have a proper Mitzvah, or a Bidei Kuhuna, but the Chiyu of Havas and Akrabas, Omer She'alachem, applies Bizmanenu as well. Therefore, even though the Rambam thinks that Spheros Omer, the Din, Sefer Avoda, the Karbonos, nonetheless, it's his view that Spheros Omer is Doraisa, because in theory, Kedusha HaMikdash is Doraisa. Parenthetically, just mention that some Achronim raise a similar question with regard to Maror. The Rambam's view is that Maror is just an adjunct of Korban Pesach, and that's why the Manazeh is only Drabana, that's what the Gemara says. However, there's a major discussion. Does Mana Mikdash, was Maror just an adjunct of Korban Pesach, or since it was Hakrabas, Korban Pesach, so Maror was Doraisa? For example, if you have an Orel who can't bring a Korban Pesach, is he chayiv in the midst of Maror Doraisa or not? That's a major debate, and the Rambam's view on that is a little bit unclear. There's a certain Rambam that's Korban Pesach. The Rambam says that, you know, certain people can eat maror, even if they're not bringing the korban pesach. We don't know whether there's no problem, you can eat maror, there's no, it's not pultosif, it's not a violation, or it means they should be eating maror, just like they should be eating matzah. Matzah, we know, is doraisa even without the korban pesach. So some achronim ask, well, if the Rambam really thinks that maror, it depends on the zman of korban pesach, and even an orel, the zman amikdash, should eat maror, rather than an actual kiyum in Achilah's Korban Pesach. So how come he doesn't think that Maror Bizmanazeh is also Doraisa? After all, the Mikdash and the potential for Korban Pesach exists in Manenu as well. So of course you have to distinguish between, even if something isn't a kiyum in the actual Korban, the question is whether or not the fact that the Fo'al Korban is being brought in a certain era, doesn't that also impact on the connected business? But here, Reb Chaim's suggestion, not such a dumb question, is the fact that Mikdash and all these are applicable, even Bizman HaZeh, means that Spheros HaOmer is Bizman HaZeh as well. However, I don't think that I think that helps a lot with the Smidim Musafim, but I don't think that is the whole story. After all, the Rambam himself links the Omer and the Sphera, by extension, he links that with Pesach itself. The Rambam does something unusual. The Rambam explains the reason that we know that Mimacharas HaShabbos, right, refers to Mimacharas HaShabbos is when we begin Sfiras HaOmer. The Tzedukim explain that means it's always on the Motzai Shabbos, and as we know, the Masorah is that that refers to Motzai Yom Tov Rishon of Pesach, and the word Mimacharas HaShabbos actually occurs three times in this little section in Amor, which is very, very important. Either way, the point is, the Rambam has this long halacha trying to explain Bober Zemenas, Ori Mayuba, Dover Zeh Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, Halacha L'Moshe Avedu, I'm sorry, Ketzad Osin, he explains the whole thing, and the Kokach Lama B'nei Elo Atonim, Shiyotzim Mechal Yisrod B'nei Sheini, Shaino Mishnesh Nem Batar Mimacharas HaShabbos V'Shabbos Bereshit, V'Piyah Shumalon V'Shein HaShabbos Ole Yom Tov, V'chein Bro V'Tamin Adaviyah V'Sanhedrin Kol Dor V'Dor Shem V'Nikon Es Omer V'Shishos V'Nisan Dei B'Chol Dei B'Shabbos Hari Nemar V'Tora V'Lechem V'Kol Yom Karmel Lo Sokhev Ad Etzom Ayom Hazeh. And then he says V'Nemar V'Yochu Me'avur Ha'aretz Mimacharas HaPesach, right? Matzos V'Kolui. That's a pasuk in Yehoshua. And that pasuk in Yehoshua, this is the only pasuk that specifically says Nimakra Sapesach. Now, Bim Tomar says the Rambam, Sha'osa Pesach Bishalisiro, Kimosha Dimu Atipshim. So you'll say, oh, it's true, it was Makar Pesach, but that Pesach happened to be on Shabbos, which is what the Sadukin say. Heich Tala Kasuv, Heter Achilasam, right? Lakadash, Gedaber She'ena Ikar, Bela Asiba, Ela Nikro, Nikro. This is a very fascinating Rambam. Rambam says the Pasuk is going to mention Pesach if it just happens coincidentally to refer to something else. The Pasuk is referring to the Mechayiv. Why do we say Sphira now? Because we're talking about Pesach. And that's how we know it's so. The Radvav Alatar says, wow, this Raya against the Tzedukim is not mentioned in the Gemara. It's not mentioned in the Medrash. The Radvav says, maybe it's mentioned somewhere, I don't know. Right? He says, I just don't know where the Rambam got this from. I said, I know why everybody else left it out. Because it's from Nevi'im, not even from the Torah. What kind of proof is that? He says, the Rambam brought it in. I'll tell you why the Rambam brought it in, he said. Because what? The other Raya in Tzedukim, based on the Sukkot of the Gemara, based on the Torah Shabbat Sab, are based on Mido, you give them Midos. So the question is, are you preaching to the committed? In other words, you're trying to convince a Tzeduki that the Gemara HaShabbos refers to Yom Tov and not the Shabbos, you're going to prove it to him based on a certain methodology that he himself dismisses. So the Rambam wanted to do it by Pshat, so he quotes Yoshua. Either way, it's interesting. This is an important Makar. But what emerges from that makar is also that the mechayev, that's the whole point of the Rambam, the mechayev is the makar of Pesach. Moreover, of course, the placement in Parsha Sevan. It's fascinating, if you look at Sefer Mitzvot, when the Rambam counts Shavuos, the Mitzvot Shavuos, he says Shavuos is 50 days after one would have thought Sfiras Omer, or after Pesach. Here he says Hakrabas Omer. In Yad HaKataka, he says, Sfira Tzomer. Also interesting. The Yom Chamisha, the Sfira Tzomer, is per Chesel Lacha Aleph, Hu Chaga Shavuos Vuhu Atzer. From Sefer Mitzvos, it's Hakrava Tzomer. So what is really going on there? I mean, we're mixing all sorts of things. It's, and the Rambam, you have to understand, you know, is the master classifier of all time. So what is it? Is it Moadim? Is it Karban? Is it the Sfira? Is it the Hakrava? What's going on? Not just the Rambam. I would say the same thing is true. I have to stop, but let me just get the main points and then I'll tell you where I would go with it. I don't have time to develop some of this. The Sefer Chinuch. What is the Sefer Chinuch? The famous Sefer Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Vav. The Chinuch explains Sefira Omer as a countdown to Matan Torah. Right? The Sefira is, really should have been, says the Chinuch, in the other direction. Right? It should have been 49, 48, 47, 46. Why is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Because you don't want to depress people, you know, oh, so many days to Matan Torah, right? Better to say 1, 2, 3, they don't know when it's going to end, or it's a more optimistic, I guess, counting methodology than saying 49, 48, 47, 46. That's the thing. You don't have to like it. That's my problem. I'm trying to explain what is the internal view of that. What is Sfiras Omer? Oh, he knows. He goes on further. He says, and by the way, it should have been for the first day of Pesach. Right? Why the second day of Pesach? That's a very strange question. Right? That's a question that's sensible only if you think that Sfiras Omer connects between Pesach and Shavuot. So then you say, why the second day? He says, because we want one day of total focus, total, that's an important theme in its own right, total focus and concentration on Zechiras and Tzias Mitzrayim. That's his idea. And then he goes on to say, and, the fact is, therefore, that they chose the 50 days from the Hakrava to Omer, because at least it's a noticeable, it's a Nikar kind of thing. If you stop right there, then the impression you get from the Chinuch is, Sfiras Omer has only to do with Moadim. Right? It should have been on the first day, it should have been a down count. It has nothing really to do with the Omer at all. The Omer says a prop, it's a mnemonic device to remember to start counting. However, I think the more prevalent, and I think more accurate yourselves, in Sefer Chinuch, as I said before, are the Sfiras Omer B'Zman HaZeh is Drabanan. So everything's on, turned on its head now. The Rambam puts Spiritus Omer in Sefer Avodah, and it's Daraisa. And even though he emphasizes Mimachras HaPasach, that pasuk in Yoshua, the Sefer Achinuch, 95% of the ink that he used to write about this topic establishes that this is all about the Moedim. And then he ends up, by the way, since the Omer and the Shnei Lechem are Rabbanon, you should know that it's all the Rabbanon. The Zman Hazeh. That's why they're no longer applicable. Zman Hazeh, the whole thing is Rabbanon. It's Tamua. I'll give you a third Rambam. The Rambam Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Tezvav.
If you only had Chav Gimel Tezvav, the Rambam. If you only had Chav Gimel Tezvav in Rambam, you certainly would get the impression that this is all about the Korbanos. Like Rambam says, again, at the beginning of his discussion with Sfiras HaOmer, V'hinei tama parsha sheyatchil lispor betchilas kitzir sa'orin, v'yavi reishas kitzir o karma midchal Hashem, v'yakarbol of Korban, v'yashlim misparo betchilas kitzir chitim kalos gedish b'ito, v'yavi menesolas chitim midchal Hashem, v'yavi korban alav. Kach yizkar korbanos ha'ilu b'parsha. So basically, you get the impression that this is all about connecting these two critical korbanos in the Mikdash, Omer and Shnei Lechem. That's what he says. However, there are other Rambans. Number one, there's a famous Ramban, the Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Lamed Vav. We talked about Shmini Atzeres. So then the Ramban says, you should know that Shavuot is also an Atzeres. And that the relationship between the two Atzeres establishes that the period after the first day of Pesach till Shavuos is the equivalent of the period between the first day of Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. And he calls it a Chol HaMoed. He says, Spiritus Omer the Chol HaMoed, the equivalent of the Chol HaMoed that we encounter on Sukkot, connecting one Yom Tov and the other. That's an amazing comment. Now the truth is, if you then go back and read Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Tezvav, I'm sorry we don't have time to do closer analysis of the word, but it's interesting. He says everything is connected to the Korbanos, and then he says, L'kach Yizkar Korbanos Ha'elu B'Parsha. This is an issue that the Ramban addresses right in the beginning of Parshas Emor. Why do we have two Parshios, Parshas Emor and Parshas Pinchas? I have some thoughts about that we're not going to go into right now. In addition to what the Ramban says there, or an alternative to what the Ramban says, but the Ramban addresses that in the beginning of the Parsha, so he's bothered by it here as well. How come the Korbanos, the Kvasim of the Omer, and the Kvasim of the Shnei Lechem are mentioned in Emor? Ki hein biglal ha-menachos. That seems to beg the question, what are the menachos doing here? Or why is the Shnei Lechem and the Omer in Parsha? That's what we were concerned about to begin with. But he adds, ki hein biglal ha-menachos. Shem ha-ikar v'chag hazeh. V'lo hizker ha-mesofin kasher lo hizker v'shar ha-mo'adim. Another very profound comment, easy to miss, but very profound. Ramban basically says that the Omer and Shnei Lechem are chagim, or connect to the chagim, but he doesn't even say it in plural. He says, ha-chag hazeh. The Omer and the Shnei Lechem are the expressions of this chag. Which chag? He should have said plural. He should have said, one is chag ha-pesach, one is chag. Could be meant, and maybe means each respective chag. I don't know. It sounds to me like what he's saying, especially in light of what he says later on, that the Omer and the Shnei Lechem represent the chag of the Chol HaMoed, which connects Pesach and Shavuos. In which case, we now have three different Rishonim whose comments on the topic we've analyzed briefly. The Rambam, the Chinuch, the Ramban. Each one, right, seems to integrate the Moed theme and the Korbanos theme. And the question is, how do we understand that and what does it mean? But I think what it means is as follows. Again, getting back to our question right at the beginning. What are these 13 psukim doing here?
And especially the final pasuk, which is the most problematic one of all in terms of being in Parsha Samar, pasuk on pay, right? Which is a way of saying, don't think that this is all here as a tangent, because I want you to draw a big circle from the second day of Pesach till Shavuos, because I won't even bring you after Shavuos is over, I want to bring you back to Pesach, the second day. What's that all about? So I think the idea is that the Korbanos of Omer, Shealachem, represent, in some respect, the transition that takes place from Pesach to Shavuos. Historically, from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, and every year, for every Jew, the transition from the focus of Chag HaMatzos to the focus of Chag HaShavuos. Let me just say it this way. It's interesting that even as the Rambam, and I think this is consistent with the picture we've been developing till now, the Rambam quotes these dinim, as we said, in Opus Kamina Numasaf. But he quotes them again in the context of the Moed. Parag Zayin Halacha Gimel and Parag Zayin Halacha Aleph and Zerusha Chadashim. The different models of Moed. Then comes Halacha Gimel. The Pesach Makrid and Karmel Musaf Kekoyom. The Yom Rishon and Yom Shvi, the Musaf, Rosh Chadashim. Part Shnayim Ayalecha and Shiva Kavasin, but Yom Sheni Shal Pesach, Shehu Yom Shish Asa Benisan, Makrid Yesha Musaf Shal Koyon Kedas Laola, in Over Hatznufa, Hu Mincha Shal Sibur, Kavasha Biarnu. So in the same halakha, another diuk, in Zayin Gimel, the Rambam integrates the Musafim of Pesach with the Omer. That's hardly tangential. Right? Uzmanu Kabua, Lafikotoka Shabbos, Avatuma, and then he has all the dinim of Omer. Likewise, in Parakhes, Halacha Aleph, right before, after Halacha Beis, he goes to the details of She'alachem, the Rambam speaks about the Musafim of Shavuot. Yom Chavisha Mitzvah Omer, as mentioned in Sefer Mitzvah, he has Nehakrabah Omer, Hu Chag HaShavuot. V'hu atzeres, v'yom zeh makrib musaf kamo musaf rosh chodesh. Shnei parim ayos, shiva kvasim, kulam olos, usir chatas. V'eilo hein ha-karbonos ha-amuros v'chumish pekudim, v'hein musaf ayol. That's Pinchas, and those are the karbonos. V'om nevin yasher al musaf v'yom zeh, mincha chadasha, shnei alechem, v'makribim v'malechem paru shnei eilim v'shiva kvasim. Again, the same halacha, the musafim, and the shnei alechem, but more than that this time. Hakol olos, tzirchata, shnei kvasim, levak shlamim, eilu na kavanas amurus mechumish vayikra, meaning Ebor. I know these are two different parashios, but nonetheless I'm bringing them together despite the fact that the Torah separated them. And then he adds, if you somehow didn't get the point till now, nimtza, right, hakara biyom zeh, and this is very, Rambam does something very similar in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, when he integrates the Avodas Hayom and the Avodah of Kol Yom, which I think he also does intentionally. Nimtza Kari, Biyom Zeh, Yeser, Al Shnei Atvidim, Shlosha Parim, Shlosha Eilim, Arbaatzer Kabasid, Hakol Esther Behemos Olos, Shnei Sirei Chatos Nechalim, Shnei Kabasim Shlamim Nechalim. Now, we can't count. We're all challenged and couldn't have added up the amount of the various karbanos between the Shnei Alechem and the Musaf. This is the Rambam's way of saying that although there are significant differences, and in both cases, whether it be the Omer in Perek Zayin, or the Shealachim in Perek Ches, I'm about to elaborate on all the unique features of these Karbanos, right? Don't ever forget that even as they are a dimension in their own right, an independent dimension, they're not completely independent. These themes are intended to be integrated into and to reflect on the special character of these days. If you want to understand Pesach and Shavuos well, right, and if you want to understand the transition from one to the other, then you need to analyze these Karbanos. In other words, for the Chinuch, for the Rambam, and for the Ramban, as I'm reading them, and for Parshas Emor, the answer to the question, is this about the Karbanos, is this about the Moedim, is a complex answer. There are Rishonim out there, in Toskim certainly, in Parshim certainly, who take the position that it's one or the other. There are Kabbalist people, and it's tangential. There are Moedim people, and it's just a problem. No question. and very possibly important nafkamina, including the Zman Hazeh and other such things. What I'm suggesting is that if you analyze the Rambam, the Chinuch, and the Ramban, the impression that you get is that these distinctions are not appropriate. The Omer and the Shnei Lechem are part of the story of Pesach and Shavuos. The Sfiras HaOmer is a bridge between both the Korban and the days in terms of what they reflect. Now, what does this all mean? So I think that there are, again, my time is running out, and I'm sorry, I can't go into all detail, but let me just give you three areas where I think this is very, very important. Number one, getting back to the questions of the Balahor. Right? The Balahor has three questions. The question of Zman, the question of Snake of the Yoma, the question of a clash between Yom HaShani Shogolios and the Din of Sfiras HaOmer. There are also some answers that are given to all these questions. Again, if I had more time, I would document them because they're really interesting. Some of them, the answers to these three questions indeed, also reflect whether or not these are all about the Korbanos, or all about, or primarily about, the Moedim. For example, the Zman question, the Abu Dram, the beginning of his Sefer, Yonei Tzvila, and the Radvaz in the Tshuva, suggest that the reason that there's no Zman for Sfiras HaOmer is because it's like the preparation for Shavuos. Just like when you build a sukkah, you know, you could make a Shechiyanu, but in the end, the Gemara says in sukkah that they decided to be the Tzarek, the Shechiyanu, of Asiya Sukkah, a Kasa B'Kiddusha. So too, says the Radvaz, the Abu Dram doesn't say, it doesn't go that far, but basically it's built on, he doesn't quote him, but it's built on his idea. So too, the Shechiyanu of the Kedusha Sayyam of Shavuos includes the Sfiras HaOmer. Okay. There are also some answers given to these questions. The Balabar's own answer, which doesn't have to be connected to the Moed idea, is you can't have snake in the Yoma, because then you'll end up on Shavuos itself, you know, counting Sfiras HaOmer. And surely that's a zilzul to Sfiras HaOmer, even without the Brahma. Apparently worse so than Shmini Atzeres and sitting in the sukkah without the bracha. Why? Because it's more targeted in terms of what the day is? Or because the relationship between Shavuos and Sfiras HaOmer is part of the story of Sfiras HaOmer, and therefore there's a greater sensitivity, right? Not, you don't have to have Sfiras HaOmer l'shem bringing you to Shavuos and throw it all away because of the sake of the Yom. Anyway, there are different answers that are given. What I'd like to suggest is that if the approach of the Ramban of Sfiras HaOmer being a kind of kolamoid to be given credence, and then you don't have to set that formulation exactly, more to the point, if you view Sfiras HaOmer as a period, basically a period from Pesach to Shavuos, which has a certain significance as a Zman, so then the question becomes more acute, and avenues for a different answer also emerge. When do we say Zman? That's a topic in its own right. The Gemara in Erevin has a Safek and Nem of an Aleph. Do we say Zman in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Zman is connected to Simcha, Zman. We'll say, Simcha without Zman. You buy some new clothing, you have some new experience. When do you say Zman? It's a very controversial question. But there is a lot of evidence to suggest that there is a special din of Zman connected to Kedushas HaZman. Whenever we're dealing with a special moment, truth is, the real din of Zman, Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'hiyanu l'zman, hazeh, is about Zman. It's about Zmanim, about an unusual Kedushas HaZman. Sometimes when you have events of magnitude that make a strong impression in your life, so for you that becomes a special Zman. Zman isn't just a din of Simcha, well, it's part of partially the debate. In any case, the Balabar's question was just dismissed out of hand by the writer. Ravid says two of the Balamor's questions are childish questions. Okay, not my term. The Ravid's. So they're questions of Yeladim. I'm only going to answer, he says, the question about the clash between Yom Tosheni, Shogolios, and Sfira. And there he gives an interesting answer. He says, listen, you know, the order is opposite, not the way the Balamor said, but he says, There's kodesh, there's chol. You can't have kodesh and then chol. You can have chol and then kodesh. Okay, the right is asked. But the other question says, I'm not going to bother with that. Why would there be zman? Every time there's a mitzvah, you say, yeah, zman. Zman is connected to mitzvahs that have to do with a certain kedushas of zman or uniqueness of zman. Is that true of Spiros Omer, the second day of Pesach? Sake of the Yoma. Right? Where do we find, he also thinks that's a childish question. He doesn't say what. The truth is, where do we ever find Sveika Dioma? Only in Kedusha Sayo. Don't find all year round, you know, we do Sveika Dioma. It seems to me that the questions, even the question of the clash between Nazi Sheni Sogolio and something else, is patterned on the question of Sukkah. The Ravid addresses the first point of the Ravid. He says, listen, Sfiras Omer lasts for 49 days. So it's true that if you look at the calendar and you figure it out, you'll see that the first day of Sfiras Omer should really be on the second day of Pesach, and that's a steer to the notion of Yom Tov Shel Gaon. This is as if you have a calendar and you're looking at it that way. But Sfiras Omer is going to go on for a very long time. Many other things are going to happen during that period. It's basically Ha'ilukudekai. Ha'ilukudekai and Sfiras Omer is a challenge. You can look at two systems. That's, I think, what the Ravid is getting at. Is that really true? It seems to me that all three questions that the Baal HaMor asked reflect a certain idea that Sfiras Omer itself is a zman. It's a unique period of the year. Again, I think the Ramban's felicitous phrase of Chol HaMoed is an excellent characterization. Now, we don't just say zman on Chol HaMoed. Right, because it's connected to the aftermath of the Moed. Maybe that's the real answer. Again, we shouldn't give other answers. Like Masnat Besh and connection to Shavuot. So again, there's no dearth of answers to these questions. Sort of the Snake of the Yoma, there's a very famous answer in the Achronim. There's no such thing as counting if you have a Safek. Right, counting implies a certain decisiveness. There are also the very good answers. What I'm suggesting is that the questions, as well as the answers, put in context, are different if we're talking about a mitzvah bialma, but it's a mitzvah that we do for the next 49 days, we do count. Or, essentially, what Sfiras Omer is a zman, it's a kind of a moed, or an extended moed. Then the question is, how independent is it, if it's a connection between, especially, let's contrast for a moment the Ramban and the Chinuch. Chinuch said, well, it should have started on Pesach and gone until Shavuos. It's not the fact that we want to zero on Pesach, only on the Tzias Mitzrayim. We're not looking forward to Shavuos yet. According to the Ramban, that's not a question. Can't start on the first day. The whole point is to link the two Yom and Tov. But that itself is a significant zman and a significant process how you get from one to the other. So then, of course, you start on the second day. But now the question is, it's an adjunct, it's a link between the two zmanim. Is it a zman b'fnei atzmo? If it's an adjunct to the zman, and can you talk about Sfeika Dioma, and can you talk about clashes with the Yom Tov Sheni of those zman? It's just a different perspective. Misasasius my brother. Let's give another example. There's a major debate among the Rishonim about Sfiras Omer whether it's Misasasius my brother. The Pashtus, Rambam says explicitly, Sfiras Omer is a mitzvah which is totally the zman, and women should be pturos Misasasius my brother. Magen Avraham has a line in which he says, "Oh, shavu rabbanan, shavu alayu kekol." The women accept the Sfiras Omer, and it's like kol. Milchas Chinuch was very upset. I'm going to try to finish another 2 minutes. Milchas Chinuch says, "You know, in Hechan Matzinu there's such a thing. In Tfilas Arvis we have such a thing. We don't have such a thing anywhere else." It's a good question. The Ramban in Kiddushin of Mamad Al Rabban Aleph. No fanfare, no fuss. Basically, just says women are obligated in Sfiras Omer. So this is a Shaina Zmagra. There's a tshuva of the Maran Chalava. It's quoted in the end pages of Shitas Kadmon and Bava Kama. This is where he happened to publish it, in which he tries to explain this idea and tries to link it to, he has the following idea. He says, listen, whenever something is you have a particular halakhic phenomenon that is connected to zman, right? And then in itself, right, the momentum of that action or requirement, right, is that it generates some other obligation. So is that secondary also the conversation about grama, or only the first? So that's how it explains that, you know, why it is that matzah is not a mitzvah non-grama. You know, the Gemara seems to say that it is. The Gemara seems to say matzah is obligatory because of the connection to Chometz. The Gemara in Pesachim.net came home. It's true with the Rav Kalava seems to be explaining that Gemara in a very unique way. He has this theory. Ramban Pasa B'Sfiras Omer Noshim Chayavos Heinikir Dlom Ma'atina Lo Shazman Grama B'Sfiras Omer Ein Gorm Lo Zman. Doesn't matter, the Shabbos makes you eat, the eating is mechayev you, birkas hamazon. And that's an explanation of matzah as well. So according to him, the Rabban's pshat is based on the connection to the Omer. Goes to the other camp. However, it always occurred to me, if you look at the Ramban there in Kedusha, Ramban says, let's say you have a mitzvah saying which is connected to Kedusha Sazman, like Shabbos and Yom Tov. Are women obligated in the Asay of Shabbos and Yom Tov? That's a big argument in the Rishonim, actually. Chinuch and the closest, mostly, Zichas Chinuch speaks about it all over the place. Now, there's a debate whether you should be chalik to Shabbos and Yom Tov, but the Ramban seems to say that women are obligated in the Asay of Shabbos and Yom Tov because it's connected to Kedushas Hazman or to the Lavin Shevayah. I thought, even though he doesn't say it, he's very opaque about the whole thing, that the Ramban may think, Lishitaso, we're going to say women are not obligated in Kol HaMoed. Right? Is Sfiras Omer really is a way of acknowledging that even though there's no Yisur Malacha, but that the period between Pesach and Shavuos, that transition, itself is a transition, right, which reflects not Kedushas Hazman, but at least Zman. So is it conceivable to say women are not obligated to mice and mitzvah because Zman grama? It's totally understandable. But the whole category of Zman, especially when they're obligated in the terminals, he doesn't say it. He doesn't say one way or another. I also thought that maybe I would explain the Magen Avraham, assuming that it is limited. If the Chassidus just doesn't want to hear about the women accepting, you know, Kechova like Tfilas Marit, but the truth is that even if you say it's Magen Avraham, Nashim Peturos, but we do find this phenomenon that if women are included in the broader category, they certainly have a kiyum, and once they have a kiyum, it's not so difficult for Shavuot like Kechova. The example of Tfilas Arvus, for sure, is not a bad example at all. So I think that number one, this is helpful to explain many of the issues that the Malamor and others raise. Secondly, I'm just going to give you two other areas, and then some other time perhaps. The second issue is, if you look at the dinim of Sfiras Omer, especially the relationship between the bracha and the dibur, and the actual counting, what emerges is, if I have to work at it, there seem to be two schools of thought, or two perspectives that emerge. The more explicit one, or the assumption of the postgame, is that we have a regular Birkas HaMitzvah and a regular Maisa Mitzvah. And the Maisa Mitzvah is the sphere. However, there seems to be a lot of evidence that the sphere is much more formal and personalized. It certainly isn't just counting, you know, down or counting up, marking time, but rather that the act of Sfiras Omer is a personal, formal, legal mitzvah, and its bracha may be integrated into the Amira. Just give you a few areas just to look at. Number one, of course, is the question of Shomei Ka'oneh, which the Magen Avraham speaks about, Aleph, and other poskim, Hiro Kedibur, Ksiva, right? Any post that thinks, anybody who thinks that Shomei Kona doesn't work, Kedibur doesn't work, Ksiva doesn't work, is basically telling you that Sfiras Omer is an action, it's a formal action of some sort. But in some cases, they may be telling you more. I mean, some of the folks can say it explicitly. If all we're interested in is knowing the information, what's in your mind, you verbalize or externalizing it, then there's nothing wrong with Siva. There's nothing wrong probably with Shamaya Kahuna either. But this is a Maisa, right, which expresses an acknowledgement or awareness of this being a significant time milestone in one's day, etc. That's a different matter. It may be even comparable to tefillah. Some of the Rishonim ask, well, we find that tefillah under the Chamazon and Kriya Shema, they don't have Shema Kohen. Everything else has Shema Kohen. Right? And then when you consider the connection of the tefillah's Arvus Rishus, so it's not only that there is a requirement of a more formal, personal expression, there are indications that the bracha is part of the sphira. And that both of these are a kind of tefillah. But the whole discussion of the poskin, how the tefillah is there that Sphiras Omer should be in the context of tefillah and tzibur. Let's say Sphiras Omer. And there is no issue. We're going to daven an hour at 10 o'clock. Right? Or let's say the tzibur is davening early. And preferably Nivod Yom even, or even a Dein HaShemashas, and you'd prefer, because Shulchan Aruch says, well, Chathila, you should wait for Tzeis HaKachavim, the opposite of that Ran, or the Ran maybe the only first day, right? So to what extent is there a factor of Sphiris Omer being in the context of Ma'ariv? And when do we put it in Ma'ariv? Before Kaddish Tiskabel? After Kaddish Tiskabel? Again, I don't have time right now, it would take a few hours. All these issues. Is there a Dinah Shliach Tzibor? When it comes to Sphiras HaOmer. We know, is it just Shemek Onen, he's the guy who's your neighbor up there? Or, for example, let's say he forgot one day. He can't count with a bracha. The Torah Shneach Tzibur, the Chalot Shneach Tzibur, does then change. Right? Let me mention something about the bracha. There was a Girsa, the view of the Rav Yoh, Asher Tzom Tzom Tzvanu Al Sphiras HaOmer Shehayom. Right? Which means that the bracha relates to each personal day. And what happens if you have a suffix? Right. So in general, there's this question, the Rishonim, which needs to be coordinated here. You have a suffix, you do the mitzvah again, you do the bracha again. You have a suffix, you say the bracha, but you do the mitzvah. Suffix, bracha, bracha. You have to do the mitzvah again anyway because of the suffix, you do the bracha again. That's a debate generally between the Rambam and the Ravid, the whole Rishonim. But it also may depend on the nature of the relationship between the bracha and the amira. Can you have an amira without a bracha? And when you say sheh, like the Rav Yah, what you're trying to, what you seem to be saying, that this isn't just a regular birkas mitzvah. It's almost like a tefillah. The whole sphere is a kind of bracha and tefillah. That's an amazing thing. But a sphira is a way of kolamoi, a kind of zman. This is a kind of haskara tayob. It's not just a mitzvah lispar. It has nothing to do with sphira zava and sphira yovel, which bothered the Rishonim why there's no bracha there. I'll give you one other example. There's a big discussion again in the Rishonim earlier and later in the poskim. Let's say you start off saying a bracha and you think it's one, you think it's day number five, and really it's day number six. Right? So the psak of the Shulchan Aruch seems to be that if you had the right idea at the time of the bracha and you read the wrong svira, that's okay too. And all the farshim ask, how can that be? The bracha is not maki, it's the bracha. The svira was wrong. So when you made the bracha, you thought it was five, which is correct. By the time he said the words, it was six. That's okay to the other. Or the opposite way. So the Tanya said, no, that's not the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is really talking about it's the opposite. It's a different case. The question is, when you made the bracha, the beginning of the bracha or the end of the bracha? What were you thinking? Five or six, whatever. But then, it turns out that if you made the bracha thinking the wrong day, and you end up giving the spear on the right day, but then everybody will agree that that's no good. So whichever way you cut it, according to some of the major poskim, it seems like the relationship between bracha and sphira, right, does not coordinate The regular din of bracha for mitzvah and mitzvah, in one way or another, either the bracha is being given, the bracha either way is giving too, being given too much prominence, either too much prominence to save the dibur, or too much prominence, even if the dibur is correct, to torpedo the dibur. How can it be? And one could go on, but I won't. The point is that if we view the sfira, every day of the sfira is personalized, and we see it, now this is a, you know, maisa mitzvah with a bracha. You're supposed to be sfira over and over. But as an expression of, not kedusha sayom, kedusha malach, but as an expression of this being part of the zman, part of the transition, then the whole idea of tfila and bracha and tzibur, all these things, amida bebracha, is also an issue. All these things take on a different context. And finally, the last point, which I don't have time to develop, it's critical, is that the Omer of the Shnei Alechem, you need to understand the character of the Omer of the Shnei Alechem, to understand why they, right, constitute, you know, the poles and the transition from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah. And the fact that, of course, the Omer is a regular mincha, that it's a korban tzibur, which is very, basically the two korbanos tzibur that are menachos. It's also very symbolic. But the Omer is a regular kmitza, it's thrown on the mizbeach, it has the regular dinim of Yisr Chametz, whereas the Shnei Alechem, which is the matir of Chadash and the Mikdash, right, is also one of the only two karbonos which are brought chametz, together with the karbon toda, and where there is no kmitza, there is no chelek l'Hashem in the karbon shnei alechem. Surely, this represents the transition from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Shavuos, from the idea of ein bet korin elamishosek the Torah, the limits that one has to impose upon oneself in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim on the one hand, right, to counterintuitive to what other people would expect, to reaching the point of Kabbalah Samatha Shemayim at Matan Torah, which is the true Cheirus, which is expressed by a kind of breaking out and a kind of Lachem. That's what the Gemara says in Tzachem, Samakasam Beis, that even if normally you have the view that, you know, you can either be Kula Lachem or Kula Lachem, when it comes to Shavuot, you have to pay homage not to the Lachem part, but to the Lachem part. Right? Ilav Hayoma Kama Yosef Ika Veshuka. The view that Shavuot is not the holiday of limitations, but Shavuot is really the holiday of self-expression through the means of Kabbalah Sabbath Shemayim. And if we understand well the Karbanos of Omer and Shnei Alechem and how they parallel that, then we can appreciate that you don't just make that transition, you know, overnight or abruptly. You need a period which is a unique zman, right, which takes you each day, you know, for the yomim and for the shavuos, each day to reach that ultimate goal. Thank you. Oh, I would say one thing about Kutzchem and Tirartuchem only, and that is, I think it's very fascinating. If you look at the Rambam Hilchos Yom Tov, the Rambam has this, you know, very strong about Simchas Kreiso and Simchas, you know, Mitzvah, which he highlights by means of the way that you treat other people, Aniyim in particular. And it's fascinating. The Magen Mishnah points out that there's no makar for that peroration. He says, Roy has varim l'mishom ram, referring to the Rambam. So I just thought it's very fascinating that after this whole transition and everything that takes place, to highlight it in the same way. This is din and zman. So this zman too, like other moadim, you should remember, don't get so caught up in your, you know, personal development. We have in every single moed, either a reference to almonos and asomim and aniyim. So I think if that parallels exactly what you find here at Nehemar as well. Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, that's because
we push all of this.
I mean, that's Rabbi Kiva, Talmid Rabbi Kiva. That's right. Because of that, and also sense of loss for the mikdash.
Well, what I'm suggesting really is that even though this is about Moed and Zman,
The fact that you don't have the Omer Seir left on the high level, so you think that is helpful at all. That's the Agos Nefesh of the Omer Seir. It isn't just that they are, we use them in the Gemara Omer, and they play such a role that they're asked for.
So it overrides the Omer.
Diminishes at least the Omer.
It still overrides the Omer.
But it diminishes. And then of course you have any of Avinu Ravina. Kind of highlighted, I think, some of the law.
Is there significance that they have a code?
Yeah.
Do you think this is
one of the Balmore show that has his editorial comment at the question of the Sphera? He put it in the Sphera, not Menachos. Well, he could have.
No, what I'm saying is there's no writ. He goes to that other question.
What would have happened?
See, the writ speaks about it on a Sphera song or any other song. Because there is no writ on Menachos. So there is on the other two sound writs. And then that's, you know, the Kabbalah's question just isn't. So it's a methodological question too. But I think it works out then. And I think there's a separate theme, which I think makes sense to Malice, which is Sphera's only more connected to Pesach or to Shavuos, or is it really just the bridge to Kabbalah? There's different evidence there too. So then the use of Tzachet is a good idea, but there's no effect about the holiday of Shavuos.
Right.
It's not called Shavuos, but something like that.
Right.
And they say there's no real problem.
Okay.
And we have to, even, I like it, but we have to be careful.
Okay.
You touched on this, but I'm not sure. The animal provides a company that
yeah.
It's a duplicate plus precisely.
Right.
Two rams, one bull, seven lambs.
I'm suggesting that.
But one could have said that that's not, not for the carbon owner. That's just one.
Yes, so I think
one week old. So I lost that point.
I didn't speak about the details. I think that the Omer in a sense is a more traditional carbon, but the Omer is a more traditional mincha in the sense of meat. And so on. Its animals are less traditional. And the Shamakim is exactly
the more traditional here.
In terms of the regular...
Slaughtable? Understandable?
No. I'm in terms of if you compare them to other...
To other Kabbalists that were...
The Menachos, typically... Are subject to a kneet, so they have a hakrav on them.
Yeah.
And they're, this is the only mincha pretty much that we have.
But why
the animals here, in both cases, both the Omer and Shalach of the animals are an adjunct to the mincha. Right? And all other...
Fine.
But what I'm trying to say is, without, I haven't analyzed it before, but these two menachos are both unique. They share some things in common, and I would say that what needs to be done, and what I would just want to do now, is in light of the common, unique features that they have vis-a-vis other menachos, right? What separates them from each other becomes more symbolically significant, and I think there's a potential to represent the transition.
So you're saying that the fact that the animals with the Elohim is duplicate Muslim,
right.
As opposed to the animals that cover the Omer, it's just a simple one over. Expresses that
maybe. Difference.
Maybe expresses. I was talking about the way the Rambam.
You have to see the
also that.
That's what I'm saying is that it could be overcompensation, but that is a request for part of it. They're integrated in different ways. The Omer is a different seaboard and it's different, right? But at least its relationship to its animals is not as unusual as the shale animals then.
Yeah.
And it's not as unusual as the nimra. So they say, you take it to the chuvah shomus beyach, you throw in a little kmitza,
yeah.
It's not here, and so. The shale lechem, which I think is called, is chalitz. Already. That you move from that, which is not just kabbalos, matzah, but the zedek, like the shiruos, where the kabbalos even, to become it, this is surely a significant transition. You've also moved from they did come, although it's a little conceivable, but typically, it meets a copy of the sentence, you want to call it, is a Kayla Gabola. The problem is no Kayla Gabola. You also, in both cases, have in common that you have animals which are top bell.
Yeah.
Every other case, that's not true.
Well,
but.
What?
Vis-a-vis the importance, something can be top bell, it can still be ma'akev.
Okay.
In other words, what is gikar, what is top bell? That doesn't mean that top bell is ma'akev, it still can be part of the definition. What?
It's a cook joke.
Right. So what I'm saying is you have to analyze all these, the role of both carbonos behema. We normally have a mincha and a behema, right? The behema is ikar.
Yeah.
And the mincha is separate from whatever. So here we have mincha and ikar, and the behema is our tafa. But the exact relationship between the behemos of the owner and the behemos of the shalachem, they're not identical.
Yeah, I was expecting to hear the same way the search was there. The
Shavuot is Balai is not saying that's going to be the holidays that are standing on that. And they also represent they're very high to do because it's also a process one the other is you're familiar with that process.
Yeah.
And the Shehalecha and the Omer exemplify the unique features of Pesach and Shavuot, but especially that's what I really want to say, with respect to the process that one needs to undergo to get from one to the other.
Yeah.
The Pesach alone and Shavuot alone, and they have no reason to